Luke's Gospel. In chapter 19, you know, this is known as Palm Sunday. Many people do not realize why it is so designated, because in our day, we're not really as connected, perhaps, with our heritage as we ought to be biblically. We ought to really know our Bibles well, but the whole idea of Palm Sunday is really that which is precedes the Easter season, where Jesus goes into Jerusalem that week before he is crucified, and at that time he is received with laudation, celebration, and honor, and everybody's just really lit up and excited about the coming king. I mean, it's just amazing time. And so one week before he's crucified, he is hero, but it doesn't take but about 4 or 5 days before he goes from hero to zero in their minds. They just don't understand what he's coming for. He is coming as, in fact, their king, which is what they thought, but they didn't realize he was going to be the King of Glory, the King of Eternity. He was calling a people to himself out of sin into salvation, and for the purpose of bringing other people to salvation as well. This was the whole plan of God. It always was that way. The Old Testament had said it over and over again in simile, in symbol, as well as in prophecy. God was telling us that Jesus would come, suffer many things, be crucified, and raise again the third day. This was prophesied. The people of God, Israelites at that time, and specifically Israelites, were very religious. They should have known that. They should have known that. If we are unfamiliar with the whole idea of Palm Sunday, the palm branches, that is to our chagrin, because we should know, and I'm going to share it with you, so keep in mind, in your mind, this is just a little backstory. The palm branches commemorated the fact that when God brought the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he led them across the Red Sea, and they had to live in booths while they were sort of like in tents, which they didn't have tents. They had booths. They would make them with palm branches and other things. And it was to commemorate in their feast, in their pattern of their feast in Israel, they commemorated the fact that God brought them out of bondage. And he basically bore them on eagle's wings, because there were like 10 great miraculous things that God did to deliver his people from Pharaoh. And so every year they would get on the feast days, and then for 7 days they'd live in booths, and the palm branches were commemorating the fact that peace was coming. The waving of the palm branches was a peace, and it was all about God's deliverance. All right? Now, that's your backstory. They should have known it. The Israelites should have known it. Chapter 19 brings us the reality when everything was coming to fruition. Jesus has been dealing with the people of God in 3 years now. He's coming down to the end of his ministry. And if you let your eye fall down in chapter 19 to verse 28, we'll pick up our narrative, if you will, where the Bible tells us this. It says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount, which is called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and they found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon." Now what we have in these verses already that we've read is really the preparation. It's what's known as the triumphal entry we're getting ready for. Jesus is going to present himself in Jerusalem in real time as the king. He's setting himself up on a colt, which was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. The Bible says in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt of the fowl of an ass." Zechariah 9:9. The Bible prophesied that he would come on a colt, on a donkey. The fact is that when we look at God's way, it's always been consistent. God is not about pomp and circumstance. When Jesus was born, he came to us in a manger. He was born in a lowly home, if you will. They didn't have enough money to bring a what we might call a proper sacrifice, a rich man's sacrifice, when Jesus was to be dedicated in the temple, they had to bring a couple turtle doves. They were not wealthy people. He was not born among wealthy people. He came so that everyone could get up close and personal. No one would feel threatened. Everyone could draw near. And so it is with the Israelites throughout history. God told the people of Israel, when you have kings, don't let them depend upon the strength of the horse. Don't let them multiply horses. Why? Because people tended to really, you know, depend on their horse. It's not unlike you and me. We have things we depend on. We depend on our bank accounts. We depend on our retirement funds. We depend upon the strength of our maybe our generators. Some of us have generators. Man, the lights go out, we got our generators, you know. Back when we had the ice storm, I picked up a generator, and now I feel like I'm all that, and a bag of chips too. We had some power out not long ago, and there I was, man. I was cruising. I had my lights on, and I was telling her, I said, "Want some popcorn, man? I can pop some popcorn." My microwave worked. You know, we want to put our strength in the power of the horse. I was in the power of the horsepower. You knew that was coming, didn't you? So I was good, right? And we all like these guys, especially. We like our cars. How many of you know a little old lady? You don't have to raise your hand. A little old lady who's got a hot car. We had a lady had this really nice Toyota Celica with the fins. I mean, this lady was 65 at least. She had whiter hair than mine. She had more hair than I did. But she would drive this thing. I'm thinking, man, that should be my car. But it wasn't. It was her car. What I'm saying is we tend to put our hope, our confidence in the tangible things we can see, the things we can feel, the things we can look at. And what in Israel was the way of God was that he said, don't multiply horses. And so a humble man would ride upon a colt, a donkey. And you may say, that seems silly. I remember a Western years ago, I don't remember which one it was, but they had some guy, he was the main guy, and he was, you know, his old dusty trails kind of thing, and the guy was riding on a donkey, and everybody was making fun of him. And perhaps all the other nations would look at the Israelites when people would ride donkeys and say, well, they just don't have it going on, but they don't have a clue. Listen, you and I are looked upon by the world, and they say, you are riding upon the shoulders of Jesus. He was just a guy. They say he wasn't all that special. He wasn't significant. And we look silly to them. And I'll say one thing right now. I don't care what they think. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He paid for my sins. I'm going to heaven. There's no other well. There's no other water. It's a dry and thirsty land. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the only way to heaven. And I'm excited about going there one day. And I don't have any place else I can go with a hope for tomorrow or hope for eternity. I'm getting older. You didn't notice, I know, but it's true, all right? I'm getting older. I'm feeling my pains and my aches a little bit more now these days. And I was talking to Ed Cottrell just here a few moments ago. How's your back? The man is just, you know, I got to watch it. And he's just really young, relatively speaking, and he's got to worry about that. And some of you have maladies like that. These bodies weren't made for eternity. The Bible says this mortality is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And death is going to be swallowed up of life. And we will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. The trump of God will be caught up together with the Lord and will be with him forever. Beloved, those are promises you can't buy. Those are promises you can't find anywhere else. Jesus is Lord. And as he comes into this time where he's looking at these people, he knows what was in man. The Bible says he didn't commit himself to anyone because he knew what was in man. So he just simply tells his men what to do. Go get me this colt. Bring it to me. He was framing the picture. Now, I believe very deeply in my heart that God paints the pictures for us. You will remember snapshots in your world that God has drawn for you. He has orchestrated circumstances in a way that you just couldn't miss it, because God says in his word, Romans chapter 1, that every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, throughout history, stands without excuse before God, because he has shown to them the invisible things which might be known of God. He says, therefore, since he has shown it to them, they are without excuse. You ought to read Romans 1 sometime. See, God is showing us the pictures all the time. Sometimes he draws them back. I remember when I was a really young kid. I was probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 years old. And I was having one of those euphoric days. You remember those? I know it's hard. I got a squeak in my pulpit. We're going to have to get some oil. Anybody got any? No, wait, it's driving me nuts. So I'll stand over here. But I was really young. I was about 8 or 9 years old. And here I am. I'm going through my day, and there's this little path beside a little creek we called it a crick. I don't know what y'all call it, but it was crick. And it had a little path along it that was kind of up and down. And I was running, you know, and I was having a great day. And I may have told some of you this story before. You may have heard it, but some of you have not, so it bears repeating. And I'm going over these, and I stop at this one point, and I'm like, all of a sudden, and, you know, catching my breath and having a good day, and suddenly, in my little young mind, I envision myself like Auntie M in Wizard of Oz, like I'm in a crystal ball being watched. Now, it was just a little blip on my scale, but I'm telling you, to this day, I remember it like it was yesterday. It's just a thing, just a thing. And then there are other things throughout my world where certain things would come up and God would kind of say hello. I remember Brother Mark and I, you remember this story, man. We went out, it was the week before, it was a week of school letting out. We were teenagers. I kid you not, we had stayed up, we'd camped out with a bunch of our friends around a campfire, had a big night. The next morning we had to kind of hoof it home. We're walking home and I'm getting sick, man. I'm sick. I mean, I'm deathly sick, and Mark's with me. I said, Mark, I can't walk any farther. Now, we're just teenagers. I said, I can't walk any farther. Mark says, well, I'm not carrying you. So, I said, what a guy. I made it. I said, flag down a car. I'm sick. He flagged down a guy. A guy picked us up and took us home, took me home, dropped me off, and I got in my bed, and I was sick all day long. And there was a Christian lady in our world at that time working in Amway with my mother. And this lady came over that night. She said, I don't know why I'm here, she says, but I have this silly product. I could have given it to you next week, but I thought I needed to come, and it just felt like the Lord led me. And she came in, and she says, is anything going on, you know, that maybe I need to know about? And I said, well, my mom said, well, my son's real sick. She said, would you mind if I pray for him? Now, you got to get the picture here. I was a long-haired hippie freak, okay? It was what it was. I mean, there's no way to deny it. You should see the pictures, okay? There's documentation of this. And I'm laying there in bed, just sick, and had my cool on the dresser. Okay, my cool was not in the bed. The cool was on the dresser, all right? And she came in and she said, you know, hey, can I pray for you? I go, you know, anything, man, I'm sick. I was probably 13, 14 years, anything. And then so she's going to pray. I said, well, I can go there. Yeah, you can pray for me, sure. But she went one step further. She said, do you believe in Jesus? Well, I told you a moment ago my cool was on the dresser. And I said, well, nobody looking. Yeah, I do. She said, okay, well, I'm going to ask God to heal you. I'm going to just ask God to touch your body and help you get well. And she prayed for me that day. And she left, and not 5, 10 minutes later, my fever broke, and I was in front of the TV feeling great. Now, she was not a faith healer, don't get me wrong, but God painted a picture. The title of the message this morning is this, Your Day. And I don't know where God's painted pictures in your life recently, and if you're not saved, I want you to know He's always trying to. Whether it's through somebody you know who loves Jesus, and you say, you know, there's something going on in that person's life. Well, that's what it's all about. God wants you to come to salvation. The only reason you're not dead yet is because He loves you so much. We all deserve to be, you know, in hell. I mean, if we got what we deserved every time we sinned, you know, Garden of Eden stuff, you know, they took one fruit of the tree. One fruit. Just one, and they were out. How many cookies have you stolen? You know, how many times has that candy bar looked good when you were before you were like 10, you know, oh, I can take one of those, and you snuck it out, nobody knew. How many times did you maybe snipe a little something from mom's wallet or took something off of the counter or took some change that was in something that you shouldn't have